Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we are going to find out about determined women, tough horses, and wild salmon. What an unlikely combination, but they're coming together to help raise awareness about the plight of wild salmon. Today, we're going to hear about an almost 1,000-mile journey starting in Astoria, Oregon, following through the drainages that the salmon would follow up the Columbia, Snake, and Salmon Rivers. Two young women, actually, they've been joined by a third, but today we're talking to Kat Cannell and Caitlin Spradley. They are on the line with us from Sun Valley, Idaho. Kate, can you hear us? Oh, Kat, I'm talking to actually now.
Hi, Donna. Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent. And Caitlin, are you there? So I would like to let the listening audience know a little bit about Kat and Caitlin because they are incredibly impressive young women. So Kat Cannell is a 26-year-old photographer. She is an accomplished long-distance horseback rider, and she's a professional photographer. She was raised in Stanley, Idaho. She grew up admiring the spawning salmon from the banks of her family ranch on the Salmon River. She graduated with a BFA in visual arts, emphasizing photography. And in 2016, she completed two long-distance rides, including one from Haley, Idaho, to Sierraville, California. A photo from this ride was published in the magazine Cowboys and Indians. In the summer, Kat helps Will, her husband, run Solitude River Trips, a rafting and fly fishing company on the Middle Fork of the Salmon River. Caitlin Spradley also lives in Sun Valley, Idaho now, near Kat. And Caitlin grew up riding on her grandfather's farm in Texas. She's 27 years old, and her passion for all things horses led to her riding competitively in multiple equestrian disciplines, working at training facilities, and completing a bachelor's degree in animal science from Texas A&M. She's always drawn to the mountains, so she moved west right after college and fell in love with fishing and especially the tug of a steelhead on her annual fall trip to the Grand Ronde with fiancé Riley. She has since developed a passion for preserving and promoting healthy river systems and fisheries. As an outdoor educator and guide, Caitlin loves teaching backcountry travel and various sports all year round, including mountain hiking, climbing, mountaineering, snowboarding, kayaking, rafting, and fly fishing. And I have them on the line here, and that we're going to find out about them and about this incredible adventure, which is coming up in just about a week and a half, starting from Astoria and winding up in Stanley, Idaho. So, Kat Cannell, please tell us how you came up with this idea and how you fell in love with salmon, and just tell us a little bit about yourselves.
So, I grew up in Stanley, and, you know, I wasn't as educated about the salmon as I should have been as a child. And I think that one of the things we're trying to do that is change that, is bring salmon more to the forefront of all generations and get people really involved. But it was when I started guiding on the Salmon River that I really fell in love with these fish and really started to realize the lack of them and that we needed to really help these fish and be the voice for them. And I mean, they're just incredible fish. They swim all the way from where you guys are at in Oregon, you know, even further. You know, they're going all the way up to Alaska, and they've been tracked down to South America. Like, these fish are coming from everywhere, and they're coming back to my home of 62 people in Stanley. And that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. They're not every state in the country has that, and especially not even every country has that. And so one night, Caitlin and I were sitting around my dinner table drinking wine, and she and I had been talking about doing a long ride together, and we wanted to start low elevation and come high. And horses are kind of a microphone, so one of the things we talked about is, since horses gravitate people towards us, it's like, why not use that as a tool to do something greater than us? And so we decided to use these horses that draw people in to speak for the salmon.
What an incredible idea. And the thing is that you all have experience with horses, although you never know what's going to happen on a journey. I mean, it can be obviously all kinds of things. So this is a very ambitious journey. Why don't you explain a teeny bit, though, Kat, because you had done some long-distance equestrian riding yourself in the past.
Can you repeat the question? Sorry. So you want to explain the long-distance riding kind of in a nutshell?
Yes, please.
long distance writing is really taxing on the mind and soul, because it requires a lot of endurance and strong will to keep going. We're going, you know, anywhere from 20 to 30 miles a day if all is going well, and the horses are definitely the weakest link, because we have to make sure we're taking absolute perfect care of these animals, because they are our means of transportation. If they soar or if they get tired, like that reflects our success. So horses, you know, they're pretty resistant to long travel, and like they've been doing it for centuries. I mean, we're really doing something that hasn't, you know, it seems mind-blowing today, but it's not something that hasn't been done. It's something that's, you know, been done successfully for centuries, and so really they're an excellent means of transportation, as long as we're wise and careful about how we do it.
Right. And Caitlin, you had also had experience with long distance equestrian riding in the past, or had you?
No, I have very minimal. I have like at most a week worth of travel on horseback before. So I do have like a small like tasting of long distance travel, but my experience level with long distance travel is nothing in comparison to Kat. So this was going to be a new experience for me, and I'm just really, really excited about it.
Well, it's almost 1,000 miles, and it's going to take you a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us why you named it the Ride for Red. So you two were drinking wine one night. You decided we need to do something to call attention to the plight of the salmon. And, of course, salmon are beloved here in Astoria, Oregon, all through Oregon, Washington, California, Idaho. I mean, salmon are, you're right, it's a sacred, sacred fish. So what is Ride for Red? Why did you name it the Ride for Red? Let's give that background, please.
Yeah, so the name kind of has some multifaceted purposes. Ride obviously is indicative of our means of travel. We're going to be riding on horseback. But red has a couple of meanings, in that we're going to be riding from Astoria, Oregon to Redfish Lake in Stanley, Idaho. And it was named Redfish Lake because of migrating salmon that came from back to Redfish Lake to spawn. And when they spawn, they turn this really bright red color, which in effect turned the lake this red color as well. But for the purpose of our name, Ride for Red, red is actually spelled R-E-D-D with two D's at the end. And a red is what a female salmon builds in the river or a lake by flipping over these rocks and kind of a small like pit into the river system. And that's where she actually lays her eggs. So it's just the spawning ground is actually called a red. So the reason we decided to call it Ride for Red was for one, Redfish Lake, and also for the reds that the salmon build.
All right. And so once you came up with this idea and you said, we can do this, we're going to take on this harrowing journey, and we're going to plan this. How did you find funding, and how did you go about, you know, taking the next steps to make this happen?
Well, the first thing that we did was reach out to see if we could find organizations that were interested in our project and what we were doing and our mission and what we were standing for with this journey. And Ride for Red is partnered with Idaho River United. And so through that, part of the mission of our ride is to kind of, with them, we're raising money alongside Idaho Rivers United. So we have a GoFundMe that raises money for both our projects, Ride for Red, and also Idaho Rivers United. And any donations are split 50-50 through that. Half going directly towards our ride and half going to Idaho Rivers United to fund their organization's mission as well. So that's kind of how we started it.
And so Idaho Rivers United, obviously, is their mission is to save our wild salmon. Of course, we have obviously Columbia Riverkeeper. I know you're going to be also meeting with them when you come through Hood River. You've been working with Save Our Wild Salmon. So you're working with scientists and biologists. So a lot of folks may not understand, why aren't there so many salmon returning back at Redfish Lake?
Right. So salmon are a keystone species of the Pacific Northwest, and keystone meaning that they are kind of foundationally important for the survival of other species. And so there kind of is this, salmon are having a hard time getting back to their spawning grounds because of human impact. And so we're trying to start a conversation of how we can come up with a solution to get these numbers back to a healthy level, or at least see them increasing again.
And I like that in your press release, and I want to encourage everyone to go to the website and the Facebook. It's just, it's fascinating. What they're going to do in today's world is, this is quite an adventure you're embarking on. And this mission, this riding for the wild salmon, is you're hoping to inspire Republicans, liberals, farmers, tree huggers, anglers, city dwellers, everyone who cares about wild salmon. And so Idaho Rivers United is working with you. I noticed also on your website, which is Ride for Red, and that's R-I-D-E for R-E-D-D, which is, again, the spawning hollow in a riverbed or lake where the salmon or trout spawn. And then you also have like Sawtooth Equine and Atkins's Market, and you have, of course, a lot of support, I would imagine, in Sun Valley, Idaho.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of people who have come together within our community to help us succeed, and it's been a really, really beautiful and inspiring thing. I think that long-distance horseback riding brings out the best in people, and you get to really see people come together to help. But, you know, reaching beyond that, we're really hoping to bridge a gap here. There's been some serious polarization going on between the two sides of mostly dam removal, we're not pro dam, we're not anti dam. We want to be a bridge, gapping these people and getting everybody together and everybody on the same page, because we all have one thing in common. We want to see the salmon come home. We want to see salmon returning in high numbers, and really we're just trying to bring our community together, bring the entire Pacific Northwest together, and make it so there's not two sides anymore, but we're all one, trying to come up with the best solution possible to save our fish.
And what is happening is very exciting, because you've been mentioned on the Patagonia website now, and I think newspapers and magazines and people will really be captured by this incredible idea. And you're still raising money. You did a GoFundMe campaign, correct?
Yes, and it's still live and active.
Right. Okay. I'm going to just do a station ID here real quickly, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what you think might happen on this journey. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we are doing a phone interview with two incredibly impressive young women. Kat Connell and Caitlin Spradley are on the phone from Sun Valley, Idaho. They are embarking on an almost 1,000-mile journey from Astoria, Oregon, on April 18th, that's in about a week and a half, they're going to be starting here in Astoria, and they're going to be following the drainages that the salmon would follow up the Columbia, Snake, and Salmon Rivers to the spawning grounds of salmon in Redfish Lake in Stanley, Idaho. You've already had some things happen before you even started the journey. Kat, you have a horse that has an issue, and you have Giardia. Tell us a little bit about that.
We're going to hit a lot of barriers and a lot of hardships on this trip. We're also going to have a lot of what Caitlin likes to call type 2 fun. And that means, like, through the struggle, we're going to have fun and be able to be resilient. And the way I like to describe it is these salmon are some of the most resilient fish swimming home, and every obstacle we hit, we're going to keep moving forward and upstream with them. And, so this Giardia thing is just a minor speed bump, and I'm glad that I got the antibiotics before I hit the trail. And, also, yes, I had a horse bow tendon unexpectedly. We've been really getting the horses into shape, and I came into the pasture one day and she was limping, and it was just like really, really devastating. All of the hard work that I've put into getting this horse ready for this trip was just gone. But instead of letting that get me down, Caitlin helped me get back up, and we went to Boise together, and 2.5 weeks before we're launching for the trip, I brought a horse home named Trixie, and she looks exactly like Tracy, and so really life's not that much different. We're just trudging forward through little hardships and trying to focus on the beautiful positive things coming our way, like meeting you and being able to be on your show.
Oh, excellent. And I think I read somewhere, maybe on your website, that you are a planning, you're going to ride horses in downtown Portland. Is that true? And of course, we'd like to know how you figured how did you figure the route you're taking? You know, we need to know that. But are you going to ride horses in your horses through downtown Portland?
Yeah, that's the plan. You know, a lot of people get nervous for us, but really it's just one step at a time, and our horses are pretty calm around traffic, and we've got a really good bunch of horses, and so we've picked a couple routes on each side of downtown Portland to take us through the suburbs peacefully, and we have a plan of, you know, beating rush hour traffic by leaving at 6 in the morning, waking up at 4 and leaving at 6 in the morning to beat the rush hour traffic, and then hit downtown at about 9 a.m. on the 24th of April, if all goes as planned. And, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask how once you had this idea, and I don't know how long this has been in the planning stages, but how did you figure the map and where you're going to camp each night? And I mean, how did that happen, and how long did that process take?
Well, going back to the glass of wine at the kitchen table, we sat down at Google Maps and have devoted hours to getting to know the system and really mapping out on Google Maps and zooming in and calculating our mileage and laying dots at places that looks like they have water and camping. And really, though, there's only so much planning you can do. You can have a general idea of your route, but you might get to a place and people give you advice on a better route to take, or you might make more miles in a day than you expected or less miles in a day than you expected, so you don't actually stay at the camp that you're expecting to stay at. So yes, we've done some serious mapping and planning, but at the same time we're flexible and nimble, and it's not a rigid schedule. It's more of just a loose guiding.
Well, I love that you made that analogy that the salmon are so resilient, such hardy, strong, powerful fish. And so we would say here in Astoria that the salmon have sisu, which is guts or intestinal fortitude. So sisu is really what you all have and what the horses are going to have. And you're going to need that on your journey. So
thank you.
You were joined, now the two of you created this, and then after you figured it out and said, this is what we're going to do, you actually have another young woman who said, I want to ride part of the way with you.
Yes. MJ Wright, our third partner in crime.
So there'll the power be, of three.
So there'll be, ultimately, the two of you will begin the journey on April 18th from Astoria, and then along the way, you will be joined by MJ Wright. So there, and you each have two horses, right? So you will be riding a horse and leading a horse, so there'll be four horses, and then when she joins you, there will be six horses.
Yep, and she'll be flying into Portland, and her family, they're driving her stock over to Portland. And so she's only missing the first 5 days. She actually had a prior obligation, and she's going to be in Iceland for the first 5 days of our trip. And she's going to fly right into Portland and ride through downtown Portland with us.
What happens when you all, I know you're bringing the horses here, the horses are staying with someone who, because we obviously have an equestrian community here in the Columbia Pacific region, and so I'm sure you've connected with some of those folks, and the horses are going to be staying overnight for a couple of nights, and then when you take off, where will you be going? And how long will it take you? How long will it take you to get to Portland?
From Astoria, it's going to probably take us about 5 days.
Mm-hmm. And right now we have routed a couple old logging roads, what it looks like. And you guys are going to know this a lot better than us. So if anybody wanted to visit our website and send us a message about any advice on our route from Astoria to Portland, we would be so appreciative. But right now we have a couple routes mapped out on logging roads, and then if for some reason those roads are gated or it looks like that's not going to be a wise choice, then we'll just ride the highway shoulder all the way to Portland.
Okay, that's the plan. And then after Portland, where do you go from Portland then?
From Portland, we're pretty much heading towards Hood River. That's going to be a next really big stop. And then we're going to be trying to follow as close as we can to the drainages. So we'll eventually be making our way towards the Tri-Cities and Lewiston and then back south, eventually towards Salmon and then into Stanley is kind of the general overview of our route.
And it said in the press release that you are hoping to ride into Redfish Lake on June 2nd. That's if all goes well. And will you be posting? Can people keep up with you on Facebook to find out how the journey's going and where you are?
Absolutely. We're going to have updates almost daily about where we're at and when we're projected to get to places. So the best way to follow exactly where we are is to stay in tune with Facebook and check in with Facebook, or hopefully Facebook will be posting us in your feed. And our Facebook is Ride for Red as well, REDD.
But how will you be doing that if sometimes you're going to be in places where there you won't have cell service, and how will you recharge your cell phones? What about all those? I mean, and food. I mean, there's so many details. How are you handling all of these things?
Lots of details. Yes. One thing that's great is that we have Kat, who has a year's worth of experience under her belt with how to make this work. But for recharging our modern devices, we are going to be using solar power. The majority of our food is what you most would consider to be backpacker food, so a lot of dehydrated food that doesn't need to be kept cold. And we're also going to be bringing along food for the horses as well, and so this is part of the purpose for the pack horse, is to carry our equipment as well as our food and provisions for ourselves and for the horses. But in regards to updating our site, when we aren't able to do it, we will have people at home that will be able to keep updated. We have really dedicated loved ones and family that are really supporting us through this project, and they're going to be able to help us with that along the way. But the whole point is to be self-sufficient and to work through obstacles and challenges of, you know, doing what we're doing with what we have with us on horseback and on our person. So that's kind of how we're taking care of all of the details and trying to be with as many forethought to as much as we can before we leave. So foreseeing anything that we might need ahead of time in the case that we do end up needing it.
Well, I think you all are modern day pioneers. I am just awestruck by what you're doing. I think it's incredibly exciting. And I hope that our listening audience will visit your website, Ride for Red. That's RIDE for REDD.org. And also your Facebook page and follow this journey. I mean, this is captivating. This is, we need imagination. We need adventure. We need inspiration. And you all are doing that. So we just have a few minutes left. So I would like to ask each of you to tell the listening audience anything else that you think we haven't covered, anything you'd like them to know. Please, please let us know that now.
I think that we just have a couple strong requests, and I'm going to start out and let Caitlin kind of wrap it up. But we're kind of just at this point asking everybody who has an opinion about how to save the salmon to drop their weapons and look at the other side, and instead of becoming polarized, unite with anybody and everybody who wants to see the salmon return to not just Idaho, but all along the Columbia and Snake River drainages. And so we're asking people to come together and really explore the options on how to save the salmon and unite instead of fight about this topic, because right now nobody is getting anywhere, and we hope to change that. We hope to bring people together on this topic, and so that's kind of my call to action, is I hope that everybody can see the importance of uniting.
Yeah, and just to cap that off, is we would just love support. So if you're interested in following what we're doing, we'd love for you to visit our website, send us a message, just keep updated on what we're doing. We'd love to see faces along the way as we're traveling. So if you can meet us somewhere, we'd love to see you. But spread the word about what we're doing, because the more people that come to the table, as Pat was just talking about, I mean, the human species is incredibly resourceful and smart, and I know we're capable of coming up with a solution to this for something as important as salmon, from an ecological, from a spiritual, from an economic, from so many standpoints. I think together we can come up with something. So spread the word about what we're doing. Us, follow us on our website, redforred.org. And yeah, we'll be riding through soon.
Yeah, and if you also want to help us, really help us, we definitely need a little more help on our GoFundMe. So on our website and on our Facebook page, you'll find a link to the GoFundMe. And right now we're about a fifth of the way to our goal. And so any and all help and the fundraising would be just incredible. 50% goes right to our ride. And then the other 50% goes to Idaho Rivers United and their mission to save the salmon.
What you all are doing is what sometimes is often needed to break a log jam. We need a grand gesture. We need something that people haven't thought about and imagined. And I mean, while I must say, as a mother, I'm a little concerned that you're starting off with Giardia and a brand new horse. You know that you don't know about this horse. I am so impressed by your tenacity and by your desire as young women in your 20s to stand up for salmon. And it is true, we are all connected. I have had the very good fortune of living in Sun Valley, Idaho, and spending many happy times in Stanley and at Redfish Lake. So that country is spectacular. And the fish unite all of us. Salmon unite all of us. We all care about the salmon. And again, I think working with Idaho Rivers United, Save Our Wild Salmon, Columbia River Keeper, and what you all are doing is just spectacular. So we're really excited, and all of us who are here in SRA will support you any way we can while you're here. And and then again, the website is Kat Connell, thank you for speaking with us from Sun Valley, Idaho, and looking forward to meeting you when you come to Astoria on a couple of days before you leave here on the 18th. And Caitlin, also really thank you so much for what you're doing. Looking forward to meeting you here in Astoria too. So I'll let you all go. I think you have quite a few things to probably do since you're leaving on this 2-month journey pretty soon.
Yeah, but this was absolutely spectacular, and we really appreciate you helping us get the word out there and spread our mission and tell people what we're doing. And if you guys see us in Astoria on the road on our horses, slow down, wave, and honk if you love wild salmon.
All right, absolutely. We will. Thank you so much, Kat Connell and Caitlin Spradley. And again, their website is RedForRed.org. You can also go to their Facebook page, which is also Ride for Red, and get involved in this exciting journey by these lovely young women.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you. All right. And thanks to all of you who support KMUN Coast Community Radio and this station. Thank you so much, Kate Brister, for being so gracious when we had a failure at the board today, but we made it all work thanks to cell phones. And I also want to express my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brun for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. Yes, it feels so good. With gratitude, it's so good for your body, mind, and spirit. And with gratitude for the things that are going well in your life, there will always be those things that don't go well. Focus on the things which are, expand those, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.